is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. All these smiling faces coming to worship around the Word. Coming to the family meeting this morning. We're going to read Psalms 27. I was sitting there reading this morning and got crossed up between four or five of them. I really enjoyed reading Psalms 22. Really ought to go back and look over that one. They're all good, but we're going to read Psalms 27 this morning. Before we go to Lord's Word, we need to say a prayer this morning over His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the ones that could make it through the door today, Lord. Touch them and bless them and strengthen them with faith, Father. Bless those that couldn't make it, Lord. I know You've already answered their needs, Lord, and just tug on their hearts, Father, to bring them back. Father, we ask You to just touch and bless each one that's been prayed over this morning. We know You've already done it because You said You have, Lord. We believe Your Word. And Father, as we open Your Word this morning, You just come on the scene and touch and bless us and reveal Your Word to us, Father, more than all. And just touch Brother Dale back there as he's preparing to bring your message to us today, Father. Just be with him, Lord, and bless him and stand him, Father, and strengthen him, Father God, in all things. As we hear Your Word this day, Lord, You just touch us and bless us and be with us, lead and guide us, and we ask it in Your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's really a wonderful thing that we get to do, to come and worship around His Word today, because so many of the big churches out there and denominations, they're still closed. Our God's not a God of fear. Bless you. As we read, the Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?
When the wicked even my enemies and my foes hang on all the feet of my flesh, they stumbled and fell.
Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident.
One thing.
For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock.
And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises unto the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me. And answer me.
When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek.
Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation.
When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up.
Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies.
Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen against me.
That's such as without cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Don.
wonderful thing that we can do. Amen. Teaches us patience is to wait on Him. He knows what's best for us. What is it? His no's are the best yeses you'll ever receive. Because He knows us better than we know ourselves. Praise God. Amen. Let's sing this song, page 552, little chorus, Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Amen. Let's just sing unto Him. Amen. How many are happy this morning? How many are happy that you're healthy? Amen. Then just praise Him for it then. How many are happy that you're in the house of God? Then praise Him for it. How many are happy that you have your family here with you? Then praise Him for it. Amen. You have something to praise Him. Amen. Amen. Let's give a clap to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Glory, glory to His name. He lives and reigns forevermore. Oh, glory, glory to His name. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh is His name. For He provideth all my needs. Jehovah Jireh is His name, for He provideth all my needs. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Let's stand to our feet. Sing that again.
Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Oh, Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Just the instruments, just the instruments.
Jehovah Jireh is his name, for he provideth all my needs. Jehovah Jireh is his name, for he provideth all my needs. Oh, Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. One last time, Hosanna, Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Oh, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you for his salvation. Praise God. Man, you ready for the word this morning? Amen. Let's just sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Dale gets ready to come out. Amen. And you just pull on the gift. Amen. And you will receive from the gift. Praise the Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
Jesus, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
Amen.
Holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy,
see him, don't you? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Glad to have our visitors with us. And we always say to you, and you come here one time, you're a visitor, two times you're part of us. So we say to you, welcome, and that the Lord would be with you. Brother Luis will be getting his interpreter suit on where he can tell these people what I'm trying to say. That's the best way to put it, I guess, isn't it? Amen. But it's good to see everybody. Just pray the Lord would bless. Remember all of the sick ones among us. And we're down to where that Brother Colley is the only one that is still maybe on the positive end of it and all. But he should be through with it. It should be covering all of the things. But it's just a lot of sicknesses that are different things or not the viruses and et cetera, but just something that's, you know, in life of doing. We don't blame everything on that, but yet we still say pray and ask the Lord to take care of everything. All right. Now remember, the Lord willing, next weekend, Wade and June will be flying out to be with Brother Chris Long and them for the services and all. So just pray that the Lord would bless them in their journeys there and back. The Lord willing, this coming Wednesday, Brother Aaron will be ministering for us, taking the services there. So we're doing that. All right. Then next Sunday, it'll fall our lot to where that, I'll be doing maybe the morning service, Brother Bob doing the evening service. And he said it was his birthday. So that's be pretty good. We get to hear him and get to hear him, you know, preach about his own birthday. So it's his birthday on that. That'll be good, you know. But, let's see. Is that all? Welcome the visitors. I write myself a note, you know, to where I can remember all of the things. But if you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn where we've been reading from in Ephesians 1, and we'll take our thought from there and try to continue on in our understanding of predestination. All right. How have we come to the point of understanding? How did the prophet teach it? How does the Bible teach it? It teaches predestination by foreknowledge. Those who he foreknew, he did predestinate. All right. He set a journey for those he did foreknow. So remember one thing now. He foreknew all things. So he foreknew everybody's journey. You know, that's the main thing to hold. He would, understand and know what would take place and what would be in the hour that we're living. But yet, you know, we want to just get into the thought and continue on our kind of little notes and things. So we go to Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now watch, because remember, what are heavenly places? That's the believer's position, right? Okay, all right, because that's heavenly places. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. What now? Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, what is his will? His will is his word. So what is the mystery? According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we're trying to get a thought and just holding that thought. The prophet said, you know, if you get something and hold it up before the people, he said, hold it there until everybody sees it. All right, then move on to something else. So we've been talking about predestination for quite a while, so it's very easy for us to drop back this morning with company. We don't want to lose them and things in what we're doing. We're trying our best to understand the Word of God that covers us in our day. Preaching about what happened in the prophet is wonderful. That's great. We're there. Preaching what happened in Luther's day, Wesley's day, Azusa Street, what happened there, what happened in all of those positions is great. But how about where we're at? To see the hour, because see, that's what we've been talking about. What does predestination say? Predestination is a destiny set. All right? A destiny, a determination. You know, a position or whatever is set for us in our doing in life and things, and that's what is called a destiny. All right? See, then that destiny is set for everybody in the world because God foreknew all things. So everybody has a destiny. You say, well, you mean, what are you going to put it that you wouldn't believe that everybody has a destiny? Everybody has an appointed part because of God's foreknowledge. And how does he predestinate? How does he set a destiny to be? By his foreknowledge. He could look down through time and see everything that would ever take place in the world. If not, then what kind of a God are you serving? You know, I serve a God that I believe that He knows all things. All right? And in knowing all things, then He can set down a destiny because He can see what will take place. So He looked down through time. He saw all that would be there, and He just set that for that. But the main thing that He set was the word for each age. Remember how we've been trying to bring that? The word for each age. Each age has a part of the word. All right, you got the seven church ages, and each one of those ages has a part of the Word of God in for it to be and to be made alive by someone. Yeah, all right? So then we look back and we see, well, Luther's done his, Wesley, you know, we go to Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, you know, we go through the Bible of understanding the day and the time and knowing where we're at. But what is the destiny for this age? What is the determination or what has God set forth for this age? Not that He made it happen as we consider a lot of time thinking about predestination. He desires that everybody be saved. He desired that everybody have an opportunity for salvation. All right? Then in that desiring would put Him to the basis that He would not just stamp it and say, that's the way it's going to be. No, He would see it. He would look down through time and see what everybody would do. Amen. Is there any problem with that? Is there any trouble with that, of thinking of that, about our eternal God who is infinite, who doesn't have to think things over? His first decision is His final decision. Amen. He doesn't have to change His mind to make it fit anything. It's all set. Amen. All right? See, then He could look down through time and see what would be, and He saw this, you know, covering. He saw all the people of the Old Testament. He saw David. He saw Moses. He saw all of that. And He could put a point there before them that they would bring forth the part of the Word for the hour that were living. All right, then you come into the New Testament and you pick up and you get into Paul, Irenaeus, the church ages and things, you know. And as you do, then you can see that there was so much of the Word for each age to be able to make manifest or bring forth or reveal or to do. All right, and they've lived their ages. All right? Now, you just think about what we're trying to say. They have lived their ages. They have made manifest the Word that was foreordained to come forth, all right? See, then in that, then it comes down to where we're at. It comes down to our point of what we got. We have the full Word of God to be able to be brought forth in this age. Whereas maybe, you know, one of the ages behind, you could look at something and say, well, they didn't have the amount of, well, that's true. They didn't have the amount of word that we now have because we have the finality. Amen. Yeah. Right. We have the fullness of God's word in this age. I believe that, you know, no matter how long we're going to live here in this world and what it takes place, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Amen. What's to do with it is to be able to understand and recognize our day. And its message. Okay, yeah, we believe Brother Branham was a prophet. He brought the Word of God unto us. We thank God for that. Okay, but now somebody has to make that manifest. Martin Luther preached the just shall live by faith. But the people is what made it manifest. The Pope and them didn't get mad at Luther. He was doing fine. They didn't get mad at him. But when the people begin to rally around what Luther was preaching, then they begin to get upset. See, the enemy doesn't care as long as you're just dally-dallying around. But when the people of that age and time begins to make manifest the Word of God, see? All right? So we see Luther with his, as we said a moment ago, that then he just brought the part of the Word that he had. But see, then Wesley comes along with sanctification and bringing in into those things. And as it does, there's the Word of God for that age. Okay? And the people of that age made that manifest. they brought forth into reality what was their age. All right? Azusa Street, Pentecost. They had the word of God for the age that they were living. All right? They made manifest that. You know, they seen the things and they made manifest in those days. And some of you are old enough to remember, especially some listening in, of some of the end of the age, maybe the timing there with us getting older, you know, and you could remember some about the Azusa Street and the people and the doings, you know, of life and things and how they lived. And they believed that word. And by believing that word, then they made manifest the word of the age that they were living. All right? See, it wasn't up to Luther to try to manifest Wesley's message. No, it wasn't that. It was just get his message, get it right, and get everything set in order, and that would start the stages of the restorations and the things to come forth. And see, it would come forth in Wesley, you know, the just shall live by faith. Then it would come into the sanctification or setting aside of the people, you know. And then it would come into Azusa Street with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The prophet said there's where the people made their mistake. He said they got the new birth. Now, I'm going to believe with him. A lot of people, you know, I've even heard ministers in this message say Azusa Street was false. They wasn't true. Well, now, I don't agree with that at all. I believe Azusa Street had the word of God for their age and time. They manifested their part for their age and time. And that's why I believe we must have a part of that. It's not to just look back and see somebody else and see what they do. We've got to come to a place to find out what is to be made manifest in this day. All right? Azusa Street. See? They started bringing back the gifts, the word of God and things begin to be restored to the church. All right? Sure, they cabbaged down on that, but that's why God would have to send a prophet in that age and the starting and to bring the word of God back to its purity. All right. Then he would start preaching, the things and bringing it forth. Come on down through the seals. Come on out through the entire word of God being made manifest as he was preaching the gospel. And see, people begin to rally around that back in years ago and they moved on pretty good. But then after a while, it's now beginning to fall away because now the people are saying, well, you know, Brother Branham was wrong here. That's expected to happen because the devil is not going to quit. I mean, is he going to throw up his hands and say, well, I can't. Well, no, he's not. He's going to do everything he can to try to destroy you and I. And that's what we should be doing. We should be thinking about it. And studying the word of God in that rim or line of the age that we're living, not to Azusa Street. I'm not trying to bring back Azusa Street with the gifts and all. Amen. I believe in the gifts. And I'll approach, the prophet said a church without the gifts would have to answer. All right. So then we're responsible. See? If the gifts are not operating in this church, then we'll have to answer for that one day. Because that's what is supposed to be done. We don't throw away what anybody has brought. Martin Luther preached the just shall live by faith. He stood on that and the people rallied, as I said, around it. And when they began to rally around it, the Catholic Church got upset. Oh yeah. But see, then it moved on up into the time of John Wesley, and John Wesley began to preach sanctification, a cleansing and setting aside of the vessels and things. Well, as it did, then he began to try to convert those that were behind and all like that. But yet still he had to not try to bring Luther's message. He was to bring his own message. The message he would bring would be the message that would bring the conversion. All right? And see, that's what it's to be to me and you. The message that we have heard in this last days, the bride, the prophet said, is to give birth to Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:7, and those things. She's to give birth to that. Well, that's our time. That's our responsibility. That's our destiny. We have a destiny set before us today, which is the entire Word of God. The entire Word of God to be brought forth in this age. Because what's going to change the people? What's going to bring these doing? As I said, the prophet would tell you, Azusa Street. Sure, they were wonderful. They done a good job. But they began to cabbage down on what they were bringing. And as they did, then God had to move on. He had to send a prophet with a message to bring. All right. And see, we've got a message. Okay. We're not looking for another prophet to come or somebody to do those things. No, it's already finished in that realm that the Word of God has been brought unto us. Okay. What are we to do? Make that Word alive. Make that Word manifest. There's the destiny of this age. All right. See, if you'll think about it, the Bible is so marvelously laid out. And having a prophet to express those things unto us, to put it in order, that is a marvelous situation because, like I was covering the other day, you know, we read here that Paul speaks of and he says, predestinated us unto adoption. A great mystery. Well, we Baptists, we preach the great mystery. But you know what we preached it as, and it was right. Don't misunderstand me. Listen. It was right in the basis that the Gentiles being grafted in to, you know, to where it would be a Gentile dispensation, literally. You know. And the Gentiles coming into the receiving of the Word of God, and as those Gentiles become to, then see, the Jews begin to get all upset about it. And they begin to fight Paul and the things and the disciples and things, you know, the natural Jews. Then even the Jewish people that tried to believe, they begin to turn against the Gentile dispensation. But that's not the mystery that Paul's talking about. It is part of the mystery, yes, of the ingrafting of the Gentiles. Amen. Well, we believe in that. It is part of the mystery. But it's not the mystery that he's speaking of a predestinated unto adoption. Now you've got another word involved. You've got something else involved instead of just having the ingrafting of the Gentiles. Now you've got the bringing forth of the Word of God to where that the Gentiles are going to make manifest God's Word. See, this is a Gentile dispensation, all right? In doing that, then it'll be made manifest in this day to finish it all up. And you realize, well, what if we, you know, another 40 years, 50 years, what if we are? All right? But still, somebody's got to carry the torch until that comes. We've got to carry everything and line it up. And if it's going to be 50 years, 100 years, still that has nothing to do with it. That's not for us to look at. You say you think you'll be around. No, I ain't going to be around here 100 years. I ain't preaching dummy. I kind of think I believe the truth about it. I mean, I'm 80 years old. I don't look to be around here another 100 years. But somebody is if time lies. All right. Well, see, I don't believe time's going to last. I believe we are at the time. And when the prophet was bringing it about this age, is the age of adoption. All right? See, that was what Paul was speaking of, not the ingrafting of the Gentiles. He covers that later on. He gets on over into the Romans and a different one. But he's covering it. He covers it in Galatians, how that the heir is same, you know, until he's tutored and raised and different things. He covers it in doing it into the Romans, how that even comes down to the last part would be the redemption of the body. He covers that and relates it to adoption. Okay, Peter picks it up and puts it in and calls it, in 1 Peter he's talking about, as newborn babes, desiring sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby, a growth development. Then he brings it on over to 2 Peter, is picking it up, bringing the stature of a perfect man. Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, faith. Showing those things has to be made manifest here. It was not made manifest back there in total reality. Sure, Paul and them had those things. I believe Paul and those brothers had it, but they did not have the headstone to come to the church. See? Then Brother Branham, when he would come, that would be where he would be dealing and bringing the word of the truth of the seven seals and the opening of those things. Just trying to give a little run through of facts to where we can understand. Maybe Brother Russ won't have to put me on double this morning. He has to, that's old Southern talks so slow to Brother Dunker. He just puts us on fast forward. Well, that's doing very good, I guess. But, I thought I was, you know, that's what I thought. I was over in Israel and, this guy that was there, he said, "Sam, slow down." I said, "What?" And there were a bunch of people with us where we're from Northerners, you know, in our group. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Your slang and things of your words is off," and said, "That's a lot of trouble." But he said, you're talking too fast. I said, "You telling me I'm talking fast when them Yankees is over there?" Yeah. You know, they're over there talking like a magpie to what we think about it. But, you know, maybe Brother Russ can catch up. Okay. But listen, knowing the day and the hour that you're living is the main thing that we must understand for where we're at. All right? See, keep these notes because I'll need them in the next message, the next one coming on, to where we can have an understanding so there's you that keep the notes, do them. All right? And they can put it on the internet to where they can hold it. Because a lot of times now I've been where I just quote something and I don't read it off because that way it can be put forth. All right? But thinking about it, the last message we preached was talking about what is your destiny? What is your destiny? Huh? Well, I didn't know I had a destiny. Well, what are you doing? You know, what are you trying to make manifest or live? Huh? See, because each age, as I was saying, each age had a word. And they had to fulfill that word. All right? That's part of the Word of God. That is the things that was doing in those ages. All right? But we come down to the finish of all things. That's what the Scripture said. The end of all things has come upon us. All right? We're not a doomsday trying to say the Lord's coming tomorrow, this, that, or that. No, I ain't never preached nothing like that. I ain't never done it, so don't accuse me of it. I have told you that we could last well on out beyond where we're at now. But I didn't try to make that to where it would be a doctrinal idea. I was just saying what I believe the Lord showed me. All right. But see, knowing that here we are, somebody has to make manifest the word of this hour. All right. So it's your job. It's your responsibility. Men, women, children, whatever it is. You realize that you living the word of God is what God has waited on? As I was trying to express, see, you got Peter and him. You got a few of those back there of the faith of the fathers. That they could have a great amount of the Word of God. All right? They was always doing good, and they were trying to bring it to teach us how to go on and come up the stature of a perfect man, how to do those things. But there were some things that they did not have understanding of, you know. And see, then that way, it has to wait. And had to wait until the prophet could come. And then when the prophet comes, now the word is here. See, he brought the word all the way through to us. All right? Now it's our job to take that word that he has brought. Let the fivefold ministry, as the brothers have been trying to minister about, Wade especially on it, take the fivefold ministry and let that fivefold ministry break down into just straight terminologies or languages or ways. And try to help us to understand what has been taking place among us all of these years. And I believe that. I believe God has been bringing forth his word. You know, I remember my memory goes back into the 70s and the things where that when you mention adoption and the people just go, "Oh, we don't want none of that old deep stuff." Well, I didn't know it was deep. I thought the Word of God was the most simple thing that there was when it's revealed. See, we went through those things, and we were supposed to understand what was to take place. And like I told you, in 1969, I was preaching that the bride of Jesus Christ would be the Word of God made manifest. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, in a bodily form called the Bride of Christ, living on this earth. I was preaching that then, and how much do you think I believe it now? But knowing, too, that that had to come forth into manifestation. How do you think the prophet felt when he would stand out there and preach those great things? And then the people would say, you know, he'd come to the seals and he'd say, now just give me the questions on the seals now, because we want to know what's on your mind. Well, you know what was on their mind? Should we wear pantyhose? Should the women do this or should the women do that? What about water baptism, Brother Branham? You teach Lord Jesus Christ when the Bible seems to say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. How do you think he felt? How do you think the man felt about trying to bring the word? And there was babies. And I call them babies because that's the way you and I are. Every born again believer starts as a baby. We all start as a baby in Christ and grow in grace and knowledge. I don't care how much you say you think you know and whatever. If it's not made manifest, it's not worth anything other than head knowledge. All right? But see, we've been preaching these things for 40, 50 years. When my mind goes back, and it did this morning, just picking up and looking at it, that you take the Bible and read it and see how that the Corinthians, you know the word Corinthians, first and second Corinthians, that means correction. Well, there was the church that needed correction. There was a group of people that had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, yes. They knew by the new birth what it was, but they couldn't go on. And see, Paul and Peter and all of them, John and them, was trying their best to tell them how to go on in Christ. But yet they just, well, I don't understand what it's talking about here. What does adoption mean? What is it? Well, then you have to go back and explain adoption. You have to explain to the people what that adoption was when we was teaching that in the Baptist church. And I'm not throwing no stones at you or anybody, but that's the God's honest truth. We were teaching adoption. We talked about adoption in the Baptist church, but we didn't have no understanding right of what it is and the truth really of it. We done the best we could do. But yet we taught some of those things back there and believing it and trying to move on into it. But the main thing is to get the people to believe it. Get the people to see it. I keep quoting, I always like to quote that because see, that the Catholic Church never got upset with Luther. Oh, they didn't like it. They didn't like what he was doing and they talked about him and against him and everything else. No, but when the people begin to rally around that message, oh man, they went after Luther then because they knew they had to get him. They done everything in the world to try to destroy him. Right? Kill the Christians of those days and times because of what they were believing. And you know who was killing the Christians? Christians. You ever thought about during the Dark Ages when they'd just take a woman up and cut her open and grab the baby out and feed it to a hog and everything else, trying to get them to deny Jesus Christ? And you know who was doing it? The church. Come on, go back and study your history. It was the church. Church was what was killing people. Luther then was trying to bring the truth to them to protest the fact of what they were doing. Luther never wanted to get out of the Catholic Church. I've read his own writings, got it at home. He didn't want to get out. He wanted to convert the church. He was going along with a lot of what they were saying. But he wanted to convert the church. But the church wouldn't turn. They went back to Catholicism. All right? But you see, we're in another age, another time. It's not for us to try to protest the Catholic Church. You don't see me get up here every Sunday and preach how this is an old Catholic Church is that old mother whore and that's this and that more, or this, all of these things like that. That's not for us to preach. That was for Luther to preach. That was for Wesley to bring. That was for Azusa Streets and them to bring. Ours is to take the entire Word of God and fully understand it. And like I said, then you say, well, what is adoption? Okay, adoption in the natural is you adopting somebody else's children. You know, you adopt somebody else's children. That's what you call adoption. You go down, you fill out all the paperwork, you get all of the things done, and they let you adopt that person, that child, into your family, change the name, making it to the name, making them part of the family. All right? And see, we have the new birth. The new birth came on the day of Pentecost. Luther had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. Wesley had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. It was just the age and time that they were doing. They had the new birth for their time. And Azusa Street had the new birth for their day. The gifts and the things happening and all like that. But they turned down the word. When the word came forth to the prophet, see then, they stood with him up until a certain time. They done pretty good with the prophet until he's preached through the 40s and the 50s. Began to taper off in the 60s that they wouldn't have him. Where he would start preaching to start with to 500,000 in India or something. And he'd wind up preaching to a half a dozen people in a trailer. Why? Because people turned him down. Who turned him down? The church. Right? Who was against him? The church. When he tried to preach one true and living God, who was the ones that was against him? The church. When he tried to preach serpent seed and the things like that and bringing forth the real truth of the gospel of the word, who was turning against him? The church. When he got into adoption, and like I said, we Baptists preached on adoption. But when the Pentecostals got into it, they just cabbaged down to the point, we've got the new birth, that's all we need. That's true, if you want to die and go by the grave. I'm saying to you, the little church, I'm speaking to the little church, not to anybody else. Anybody else out there is listening on their own account. You know, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to Lula Church. You see, we must step out on this message that has been brought unto us. Not protest the Catholic Church. But it don't do no good to protest Jeffersonville. I'm not against nothing like that. I'm for the people of this message all around the world. But what's wrong? The people won't take the message and move on to see what's my destiny. You realize that what happened with Martin Luther when he started preaching the just shall live by faith, that was what God saw before the foundation of the world and knew exactly that he would be that, and there he stands. What did we talk about Abraham and things like that? Why did God choose those certain ones? Because he could see in Abraham something that would be a contact that he could lead or be with him and go. He saw in Martin Luther a man, yeah, a human being, sure, had a lot of problems, a lot of troubles. Drank beer and sat in a pub and smoked a pipe. Yeah. That's no joke about it. He would say amen if he was standing here because that's the things that they done because they didn't understand. John Wesley began to preach sanctification. The Lutherans got upset with John Wesley when the people of John Wesley's day began to make manifest the thing and believing in sanctification and cutting off those things and all. The Lutherans turned against them. Are you following me? One age right after the other. One age would try to bring the word. Then you'd see that age die down. Then you'd see the people running and fighting against that. Being against it. See, then when the prophet brought the message to this age, he was welcomed in the 40s, 50s, 60s. When he was preaching adoptions and the things of the Word of God, they rallied in that. I've noticed a couple of them that I've got where that he was saying, you know, he said that message was a great accepted message of the, you know, hear ye him. And he preached that constantly back in the late part of the 50s and then on into the 60s and preaching hear ye him to bring it to an adoptional stage. To bring it to the point that we could understand what it was. And what was it? You're born a child. All right? But they had a way over there of doing it. And really, if you'll check it, you'll find out you're coming down from the Romans and the Greeks and the thing with the adoptional parts. But it was perfect for the Word of God so Paul could use it to explain what was happening. See? And he was the great one to take all of those things and bringing it forth into the Ephesians, the Romans, the Galatians, and the people. That he could start teaching those people the Word of God. And showing them what they need to be doing. All right. See, that's what the prophet done in this day. Forgive me for coughing. Listen, when he began to bring the message, the people rallied around it. But when he began to lay it down and teach it and bring it to a place, a position, that it was something in a life of an individual. Right? Adoption is, we'll get back to these when we get into it. You realize that the Holy Spirit is your tutor. Right? And you know that Holy Spirit being the tutor, it teaches us. And you know Brother Brown says that, said, see there, said, God said, sometimes I have to kill the people. You don't read all Brother Brown said. You don't listen. God allowed people to die. He didn't kill nobody. Don't misunderstand me. He allowed Satan to take the church and put it in the ground at Nicaea. Right? He didn't do it. But he allowed Satan to do those things. Looked like he would run to the church and rally around it. That's what used to bother me when I first heard about it and read like the Fox's Book of Martyrs and things, you know, back in even when I was first hearing of the prophet and thinking about how that those people and thinking about what I said there a while ago and you got somebody standing out there and they're killing that person. And they're standing there saying, you deny that God you believe. You say, I can't deny Jesus. Who do you serve? I serve Jesus. Well, what's the problem? You're serving Jesus. I'm serving Jesus. I used to look at that and wonder, well, what in the world could people come to? That they'd kill each other over or kill somebody over and they believe the same God. Yeah, but you don't believe the God I believe. Well, what? Is there another Jesus? Yeah. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Yeah, Trinitarian doctrine. The Trinitarian doctrine is what killed the people. and a Trinitarian doctrine is the teaching of the Trinity, of the people of the religious world. Do you understand what I'm saying? What would make the Catholics want to kill anybody for believing in the same God they believe in? Unless it be they don't believe in the God you believe in. Come on, they don't believe in the God you believe in. You try to explain to them the God you believe in of the one true and living God, that it's not Trinitarianism, it's one true and living God. They're going to kill you for it again. Right? Because somebody one day is going to do it. The prophet said it too many times. He said, one day somebody will stand up. So the bride will come to the word. And as she does, says, then the world's going to come after the bride. This is, I told you, with this viruses and stuff like that, that's not the, no tribulation. That's a tribulation that worketh patience. I was reading, Sister Trudy gave me a book to do, and they told in there about the people from 165 A.D. this away, and there's been over 500 million people died of viruses. One of them alone was 200 million people. And you know what most of those done? Within 1 year. That's according to them now. They even give the dates of where it started, where it began to taper off and ended up. Most of them, the longest any of those viruses ever lasted was like 5 years. 500 million people. That's not the tribulation. That's pre-tribulation. That's tribulation, the work of the patience. See? All right. So you say, well, it's poured out on us. No, we're not under no tribulation. If you are, you're under the wrath of God. Tribulation means the wrath of God poured out upon you. It is not because you get sick and you have this virus and you have that one, or you have this bug that takes so many, whatever. That's not tribulation. That's tribulation at work with patience. That's a pre-tribulation. You've heard the prophet in the seal book get into it. A pre-tribulation to where people would die. He said, I was looking at one this morning, he said, cancer would be like a toothache. No? Well, look at the viruses that's going around. Look what's taking place. But it's tapering off now, right? Well, how long have you had the virus? Come on, you don't think about what is being said and what happens. How long has the virus been in effect? A little over a year. Now it's tapering off. Well, is it odd? I mean, I'll give you the book. I'm not trying to promote a book or anything, but I'll let you read it to where that most of those viruses only lasted like 1 year, and then it would begin to taper off. And die of 200 million people die in 1 year. But that's not the tribulation. Tribulation is when the wrath of God will be poured out upon the people. That there won't be no praying, there won't be no virus, there won't be no go down and get a shot to take care of. You'll die right in your flesh and just rot. The animals will just come and eat right off the flesh as you're still alive. That's according to the Bible. That is coming to a tribulation. All right? But you see, the bride of Christ is to go into rapture. She's not to go through the tribulation. She goes through the tribulation that maketh patience. She has her troubles with all of the world. Sure, we're under all of the things. It's happening to us. It's happening all of us. We're not immune to sicknesses. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord leadeth out of them all. It speaks of maybe more for us than it does for others. I tried to tell you when this first started, I said, this is not the tribulation, church. I said, this is tribulation that worketh patience. How many people has died of this thing? But I'm praying and hoping that it'll do like the rest of them. It's tapering off, I hope. Because that's what they're saying now. All right. But see, the bride don't go through the tribulation. She goes in the rapture before the tribulation takes place. But what about them poor old Jews that'll be there? Even the chosen of God, the 144,000, they're going to be in the tribulation. The world's going to be in a tribulation where there won't be no, it'll be the wrath of God poured out. It won't be that you can pray and God will hear you. That's tribulation. When there is nothing, just you can scream and cry all you want to. At least you can go get an aspirin for a headache. Well, what if the time come when nothing don't work? Then you're talking about tribulation. But it's not supposed to be upon the bride. So then we were going to get out of here before. But you know what's going to cause us to get out of here? Is the revealed word that was brought unto you and I by this prophet messenger that is made alive by someone. Why is it that the diseases is not supposed to come on you? Because of what you have inside of you. Don't mean that you won't get sick and things can't happen. But you can pray. What about a time when it doesn't do no good to pray? You say, well, that sounds like doomsday. That is, but we're not supposed to be there. We're supposed to be in a rapture. What is the last stage of adoption? According to Romans, we'll get back to it, Romans 8. To witness, to become a part of something that will take place that these bodies are going to be redeemed. The prophet said that will take place at the resurrection. Because it'll all transpire right at the resurrection. Change in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Step off this earth. Why? Because we believe the word of God. Because somebody's going to believe it and going to stand on it. Somebody's going to say it's for me. You say, but I just can't see this for me, brother. Well, why can't you? What's your problem? Do we believe God? These sicknesses, you say, well, they've come among us. They've come among everybody. There's no such thing as saying that we're immune to sickness because we're a bride of Christ. But now listen, you say, well, the prophet said it. Okay, now you handle it. You got the pulpit. Come on. You handle it. No, you ain't going to do it. All you're going to do is run your mouth when you get at home. But run your mouth over one thing. The bride of Jesus Christ. As long as that blood of Jesus Christ is here. And it'll be here until the change of these bodies. That's going to be there for you and me. To be able to pray and God will hear us and honor our prayers. But he's waiting on somebody to step out. He's waiting on somebody to just step out and believe it. And say, that's for me. See? That was why I was so thrilled when you begin to tell me, and there I was in the hospital and things. And they say, well, the world, they've got you on the internet. They've got you on this. You're in all of the countries. We've got it. Brother Dale, we put it out everywhere. And they're praying for you. Well, thank God. Because somewhere, it may not be for one person. And I ain't worried about it. I'm just saying it that way. It might not be but one person that was praying, but God heard. Well. And the most of you have been taken care of. That the fact that you didn't get the viruses and things. And even if you did, it's turned down into a smaller case. Well, maybe it had to strike me and my wife where we could stand in faith in one thing and say, we're going to make it through. We're going to make it through this time. We're going to pray. We're going to get a bride people around the world to rally around the prayer line and pray for God to take care of these things. See? Somebody's going to come. What is adoption to be? The natural story of adoption is, as I said, you adopt into your family a child, make them part of your family. All right? Now, see, in the spiritual part, it's you that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. All right? Your new birth is not your adoption. We'll read these later on, but I've got them laying here. It's not your adoption to your new birth. The new birth is you coming into the body of Christ as a child of God. Adoption is when you take that child and tutor that child and train it for all of the times, and it comes out to be a child of God with understanding, and then God can take it out and give it full authority. As I said, what did Paul do? Paul took Galatians, explains it. If you want to study adoption, read these. Let's see, I wrote them. Read Galatians, especially the fourth chapter. Uh-huh. Read Romans, especially the eighth chapter. Read Ephesians, especially the first chapter. Read 1 Peter and read 2 Peter. And you'll see what God is expecting out of you and me. Somebody's going to make that manifest. Somebody's going to stand on this word and say, God is real and he's bringing all of these things to pass. And we're not afraid of him. I'm honestly can say, I could lay there in the hospital by myself and nobody around and nowhere to talk to anybody. But yet I was never afraid. There was never a moment of fear. There was a moment of rejoicing to find out the people was praying for me. That was a rejoicing time, not a fear. You see, you're not afraid of dying? No, I'm not afraid of dying. That's the problem. If you're afraid of dying, you've got a problem. You need the new birth. See, that's the first thing that we need. The first thing we need is the new birth. Do you have that? Because there's no need of talking about how do you become adopted into the family if you don't have the new birth. If you're not born again, don't worry about adoption. It's not for you. It's like the prophet says that it was. A child that never proved to be a tutor, or the tutor couldn't bring that child up to a position of, you know, adulthood or acting like it. That child stayed a child. He stayed a child of God. But he was never adopted. Now I'm going to say this, whether you like it or not, then you're going to see. The days of Martin Luther, they had the new birth, but could never reach adoption because they never understood it. The days of John Wesley, they had the new birth of sanctification, even your prophet said it. They had the new birth. They were in the body of Christ. But they never reached an adoptional stage. Azusa Street coming to be the greatest of all of the movements of God. Signs and wonders and gifts and all working. But yet they never come to adoption. Like we were talking about the other day, why would people be so, you know, odd? I never have understood this because, you know, here's Brother Branham. I'm just not making a joke, but I'm just talking. Here's Brother Branham stands up there and he says, now, you know, said there's Graham. Said that's G-R-A-H-A-M. He said that's six letters in the name. And said we've never had a worldwide evangelist or anything like that with that ham on the end of it until Billy Graham. And he thought the world of it. He said he had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe him. All right? And he said, here he comes with that. But said, there's got to be somebody come to pick up higher and get seven as the right number with God. Well, why didn't somebody sit there and say seven? Said, now, Billy Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M, that's six. Who's this guy up there preaching? William Marion Branham. Seven, seven, seven. You know that they had to, his name was changed. Brother Branham's name was originally Braham. His father changed his name. Why didn't somebody get up and say, who is this guy? What did you say your name was? How many letters is in your name? I got 21 of them. I got seven in each one. Well, maybe this is the guy we need to be looking for. No, they were still looking for the guy. They were still trying to find the Malachi 4. When he was even telling them, his name was telling it. Even showing them mathematically everything was correct. Do you think they'd believe him? Oh, they believed him while the gifts was working. Sure, he was a prophet. Gifts was working. But what about, like Wade was talking about the other day, what about when he began to tell that Catholic church and all that, there was not one whole church converted. You know what I'm saying? Nobody, no age, no people got converted to those things. But what are you trying to say, Brother Dale? I'm trying to say one thing, church. Somebody has got to make this message live. When are we going to start believing it? And believing it's us? And accepting it to being that simple? Yeah, but I don't believe we'll ever be nothing like that. Well, then where are you and what are you expecting? Who's going to do it? Could it be that you don't have the new birth? Because the new birth is supposed to teach you that you're a child of God. Adoption is not the new birth. The new birth is to realize you're a child of God, born into the family of God. Then adoption is to positionally place that child in a full authority. When are we going to rally around the message of the hour? If not, we're going to keep on dying and going by the grave. You can say what you want to, but that's what the Lord spoke to me in about 40 years ago. And I never had no references and never have any references to anybody or anything, but the reference was the one thing. The biggest portion of the bride of Jesus Christ is going to die and go by the grave because they cannot come to the adoptional stages that is required for this age to be done. Why? Because they will not accept it. They've got their own ideas. Like one man said that statue of perfect man, he said, yeah, that's deep, but said Second Peter, that's simple. Well, that's the same thing. But yet to him, see, that meant something. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking while I'm talking? Well, you mean, Brother Dale, that you think that we've got to become the Word? If not, what are we here for? Let's go home. It's raining out there. You shouldn't be like that. Well, why? Somebody's going to stand on it. And believe who they are. No, it'll be just like maybe what the prophet said. He said the people would come to a place that they'd say, you know, the tribulation starts falling, the things start going wrong, and they'd say, but we thought we was to go in a rapture, that we was to be, go and leave out of here before the tribulation, but we thought. See? Come on, it's a direct quote if you need it. People would come to that basis of saying, I thought. The church is left up to me and you. That's what that's bearing on my heart more than anything in the world, because that's why that I just picked to go this way this morning and not go with the notes. For one thing, we have got to stand upon what has been brought to us. And we haven't played 6 and 7 little messages along the way to try to get you to understand. We've been talking about this for 50 years. Come on, how long have you been here? How long have you been here, Brother Ray? 20-something years. Some of you have been here 40, 50 years. Brother Colley, Brother Darty, 50 years. You know for one thing for sure, that I've hollered and screamed about this ever since you've been here, at least. Like that brother was saying there the other night. He said, you know, that you're talking about Brother Ron Spencer when he was at one of those meetings preaching that we needed this, we needed that, we needed this and that. But see, where did it do any good for the ministers? Where did they pick that up and start preaching that? Where around this message have they picked it up and tried to teach adoptions and their things? Oh, they're beyond that. Oh yeah, we're beyond that. We got the new birth. Well, that's what your prophet said. Now listen, I've got them laying at home and some with me. Your prophet said that's where your Pentecostal people thought that they got the new birth, and that was, and he said, and they did.
Right.
He said, and they thought that that was the end of it,
that
was all that was required. I'm telling you, to be changed and go in the moment of 20 life requires more than a new birth of Luther's Way, age, or Wesley, or Azusa Street.
Right.
If it's true that the last stage of adoption is to wit, to understand the redemption of the body, the prophet said, that'll take place at the resurrection.
Amen.
Well, if it's true, then that's what's going to take place. But you know what? Your resurrection is inside of you. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have within inside of you the thing that'll take you in a change. That's why there's no fear. Not afraid of all of these viruses or whatever takes place. No, because we're not supposed to be here under a tribulation like you're trying to make it. But we can be here when this thing becomes so physically bereft until we don't even have food to eat. Well, now, God's not going to let that. See, there's where you got your pity patty. What you thank God? You think your God is not able to handle all of these things. God knows how to separate what tribulation is to tribulation that worketh patience.
Right.
He knows how to bring things upon you and I that can even take members of our family. I'll quote it to you from the prophet, but I can read it to you.
Exactly.
You just got your notes, you just run through it, and you'll find him saying that the Holy Spirit said, I even took their families.
Right.
I made them sick. And said they stood on the word. And still believe me to be the healer, the deliverer, the thing. Then now take them out and adopt them. The one thing that I've never understood of people. The prophet said he'd take you out on the backside of the desert. He said, treat you with gifts and things. Out on the backside of the desert. He said, then you'll come forth to be a child of God the way that he wanted it.
Amen.
Well, like one brother said one time, he said, because he's been a little bit sarcastic. May I was too. Okay. He said something about, you know, the authorities and the things, you know. And he said, well, you know, you're just saying that you've got it and we ain't. I said, I ain't never said nothing like that. I said, I believe it's for the entire body of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But I believe I'm a part of it.
Right.
I'm a part of the body.
Amen.
I'm a part of the fivefold ministry.
Right. Yep, that's right.
Amen. And I believe that. You say, does that make you? No, don't make me nothing. See, because he is the fivefold ministry.
That's right.
Huh? Adoption is sonship coming into being. Now, I don't know where I have it. Let's see. Let's see if I can find that. Yeah. Let me just read you a few things from other translations beside the King James. Romans 8 and 23 speaks of, to wit, the redemption of our body. Listen to what one translator says. Longing the adoption that shall ransom our body from its bondage. These are other translators, you know. While we eagerly await our full adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Full adoption, the redemption. That's some good thought. As we wait for full sonship in the redemption of our bodies, as we await that rite of sonship that involves our bodily redemption, what we await for a redemption of our bodies, which will mean that at last we have realized our full sonship in Him. For the eager outlook of creation ardently awaits the revealing of the sons of God. For the longing of the creation looks eagerly for the time when the glory of the sons of God shall be revealed. This is what other translators, I got a book that's got 26 translations in it, and it is wonderful to talk and see what they were talking about. I don't go by that. I still use the King James. I don't read it, but I still read some of these. All creation is yearning, longing to see the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation waits impetuously, or how do you pronounce it, for God's sons to be made known, waits for the revealing, the declaring, the sonship. The whole creation is at tiptoes to see the wonderful sights of the sons of God coming into their own. Longing for the adoption that shall ransom our body from bondage. See, you get different ones. Eagerly awaiting our full adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Wait the rite of sonship that involves our bodily redemption. Sonship. Sonship will end with a bodily redemption.
All right.
You're not wanting to do that? You're not wanting to have that part? You're not thinking about it then in the age that we're living, that this is our time? Where else is there anybody to come forth? Where is a promise in the Bible for another group of people to come forth? Well, we might not be that people. Well, I don't know, but I'm part of it. I'm glad of that. And what little bit I can understand, I'm like. But a bodily redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ body was bodily redeemed. Not because he was sinful, but because he had a beginning. See, our bodies are going to be changed one day into the glorious image of a body like unto his glorious body. That's sonship. You know how you're proud of your children when people brag on you. Man, it was a friend of ours, a bank there at home, he told me one day, he said, Sam, he said, you and your wife must have done a good job. He said, you've done a good job raising the kids. Well, you know, I like that. You patting on your back, yeah, that's good. I like what he was saying because that meant more to me than it would if a Joe Blow off the street walked up and just said, you've, I'm talking about somebody with full authorities and things that understood something had to bring forth into manifestation in a life or whatever for him to be able to fully say those things. And I enjoyed it. Are you not proud of your children? Oh, yeah, sometimes we'll beat the daylights out of them, you know, and scream and holler at them and everything in the world. But you know what? They're still our children. But you know what I like about God and His ways? I'll get back to this. Those who do not come to the point of a full adoption are going to have to go by the grave. That's the point I'm making. Because each one of these relationships was to a bodily redemption is the last part of adoption is your bodily redemption, right? Did you follow that? Now the last thing is the bodily redemption. All right? See, then if you don't come to full authority, you're going to go by the grave. Well, then was the Lord speaking to me and telling me what the truth was when he said the biggest portion of people will not be able to come to the change of the body? And you know what? I may be the biggest one of all of them. I'm saying that's what he said. I'm not trying to say I'm going to be there. I believe I'll be there. I hope I'll be there. At least I'm confessing that I'll be there. And I'm not sitting around dilly-dallying waiting on something else or blaming you for what my troubles. Well, Brother Dale, Brother so-and-so preaches so much greater than you. If we could just get him to come preach to us, name him, we'll get him. Name him, we'll get him. No problem. Because you see, I'm wanting to get out of here. I am getting tired of this old 80-year-old fella that I'm living in. Right? I'm getting tired of that. But you know what I'm saying? Thank you, Lord, for letting me live this long. I do. You ever thank him for me? I thank him for him letting me live as long as he's letting me live. And to see what I've seen. Through the opening of the Word. Come on, musician. Through the opening of the Word of God, be able to see God made manifest in the way that He wanted it to be. He's waiting on you and I. Adoption time, when He can pour in His fullness in the baptism. Those are direct quotes. 50 years quoting those things to try to get people to see it. Try to get them to understand that we have to come to a position to be manifested sons and daughters of God. Because what does manifest mean? What does the word manifest? You ever looked it up? It means to make known. It means to make known. The making known of the sons and daughters of the living God. What a wonderful hour, what a wonderful time that we have. That we can rejoice and be happy in all of it and do it. Let's stand together. Anybody have a need? The altar's open. We try to remember one thing. As long as we're around here, we will need bodily redemption. And in doing that, us sick, we get well. But thank God for the healer. Thank Him for the deliverer. Thank Him for loving you and me. What we got, brother?
That sounds like home to me, like where I want to be. There'll be no tears ever dimmed.
innocence a wreck.
As we see,
we believe you, that by your stripes you healed. And we thank you. We commit it all to you now. We send this prayer call in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else?
To me, that sounds like home to me.
Do you want to go home? I'm homesick for glory. I don't know about you. We've heard of all these great glorious things. I want to go see it. I want to go see it. You know, you give me something. You say, well, it's up here in New York. You got to go. I want to go see it. I want to go and see it. But I want to see the streets of gold. The glory of all things. I want to see all of that, don't you? But the main thing I want to see is my brothers and sisters that have preceded me. I remember Sister Cleta used to say it this way. She said, I'll just beat you up. See, what she was saying was, the dead in Christ shall rise first. So she has to go on. See, she just raised up. What a wonderful day and hour that we have of time to think about. That Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's here for all that we have need of. There's no need to be afraid of anything. If you're afraid, then you need comfort. You need a help. You need a comforter. You need a baptism with the Holy Ghost. So work on the right thing to start with. Well, we need this adoption. You don't get adoption without getting a new birth first. You got to get that new birth to bring you into the body of Christ.
There'll be no tears to dim my eyes again. God is with the breathless glory as we see.
This afternoon and pray one for another. Father, we thank you for this day and we ask you to just go with us now as we go eat a natural meal. Bring us back together in you. Lord, and just forgive us of our many failures and guide us. Bless each one. Remember the sick among us. And Father, just take away all of these old sicknesses and things, whatever it is called by science, viruses or whatever. Take it all away from us. And let us walk in you. We love you and we thank you. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.